Mesdames, Messieurs, ladies and gentlemen, bonjour, bienvenue au 64.
Welcome to the 64th Cannes Film Festival. I'm going to introduce straight away the people who are here with us on this stage, on the platform with me.
Left, the co-founder of MediaPro, Imagina, representing the body of the producers. He also already worked on Vicky Cristina Barcelona and also on You'll Meet a Tall Dark Stranger, Mr. Jaume Ruras. As Ines and Gil, the American soon-to-be-married couple who have radically different takes on Paris, Miss Rachel McAdams and Mr. Owen Wilson. On hiatus, I guess, from Tony Blair and David Frost, here as Paul, the dauntingly brilliant intellectual, Mr. Michael Sheen. As Salvador Dali, Mr. Adrian Brody. As Gabrielle, one of the reasons why some of us are very proud and lucky to be living in Paris, Miss Léa Seydoux. 42 films, 11 of which were shown in Cannes, 5 of which actually opened the festival, Mr. Woody Allen. And the first question goes to Mr. Friedman.
Woody, Roger Friedman from showbiz411.com and Parade Magazine. I love the film. Two questions. One is, if life is a little disappointing now, is there some other time you'd like to time travel to besides what we saw today? And also, is this movie a little more research intensive? Seemed like with the sets, and even though you probably have a very good knowledge of the 20th century writers and artists who were depicted, was there a little more research that went into this film?
You know, it's a big trap to think that living in another time would be better. Everybody wants to get out of living where they're living now because life is, you know, a pretty tough proposition and not much fun. But when you think back to earlier times, you only extrapolate the nice things. So when I think back to the 20s or the Belle Epoque, naturally, I think of all the wonderful things. But, you know, when you went to a dentist, there was no Novocaine or anything. There was no air conditioning. There was none of the things that you've gotten used to that make your life tolerable now. So I really wouldn't like to go back to any time other than right now. I think I would have a hard time adjusting. It sounds seductive, but it's a trap. And I didn't really have to research this much because when I grew up, I was a big fan of all these people. I was a great admirer of Ernest Hemingway's and Scott Fitzgerald and Gertrude Stein's writing and T.S. Eliot and, you know, the work of Dali and Picasso. And these were all the people that were icons of my young adulthood and my adolescence. So it was fairly easy to write the script of this and include them.
Madam?
Yes, my name is Daphne. I'm from FIPRO.
Je m'appelle Daphne, je viens de la télévision hollandaise. J'ai une question pour Owen Wilson.
An excellent women's director, and you are obviously a man. How did he get the best out of you?
Well, it was very... the way that Woody worked with me was very sort of, he gave me a lot of freedom to try different things and, you know, wasn't so exacting on getting, you know, every word precise. And so I felt very comfortable trying different things. And, and then I had heard kind of going in, Woody doesn't give a lot of direction or... And even when I first met Woody in Paris, when he asked how my flight was, And I said, fine. And he said, well, this will be the last you hear from me. And that wasn't the case. He did, you know, was steering a, this, my, you know, character, Gil. But it was, and also just kind of the way that we'd do sort of, you know, a 3 or 4 page scene and you do it in one take is an exciting way to work as an actor rather than breaking everything up and, you know, moving in for, you know, all this coverage. So you kind of had more, you know, excitement doing the scene.
The question could be extended to all the other actors, those who have a very strong cameo like you, Mr. Brody, and those who have sort of a longer part in terms of time, as is the case with Mr. Sheen or with Miss Adams. I mean, with Rachel McAdams. Go ahead.
Well, for me, I experienced something very, you know, similar to Owen. A lot of freedom, a lot of room to play and grow, but also, you know, if I needed help, I could turn to Woody and ask for guidance. So, you know, I found it very balanced and, you know, exciting to work that way. I felt very supported, and at the same time, lots of room. So, yeah, it was wonderful.
Adrian?
Well, I've long been a great admirer of Woody and his work, and also of Dali, and so this was a remarkable opportunity for me, and a chance to pal around with my buddy Owen here again. You know, I was in for a very brief window, but I felt very comfortable. And, you know, I think the key to, like, what made the experience so comfortable is that, you know, there doesn't need to be a tremendous amount of discussion. You know, what needs to be is a sense of trust from the filmmaker with his cast, and you know, succinct communication, and I remember one of the notes Woody had said was, you know, kind of encouraged me to go a bit further with it. He said, "Remember your," he said, "that was great." He said, "Your remember your there." I want him to know that he's in the presence of a genius, but a madman, and so I could go further with the. Kind of mission accomplished.
Mr. Sheen? Blair?
I've forgotten what the question was. Sorry.
Do you feel like a woman when directed
like
by Woody?
I feel like woman. it was terrific. Yeah, I'd heard that there wouldn't be much direction, and and there was a lot, but maybe I just needed it more than anyone else. So there were notes that I got that I genuinely, and I'm not just saying it because he's here, but that were that I will use in everything that I do from now on, really. And it was fascinating. It was absolutely fascinating to watch someone work whose work has such a distinctive and unique flavor, and to be able to see. Get a little hint of what gives it that unique and distinct flavor. So I found it an incredibly illuminating process.
Yeah?
Well, for me, it was extremely impressive. I was struck. I was moved, too, to be with Woody, to act with Woody, to meet Woody. I admire him very much. So it was an extraordinary honor to have been part of this film. And it was very, very pleasant to work with Woody and to be directed by him.
Dear Belgian TV, it's a question for Mr. Woody Allen. I'm here. It's a question about Paris. For 10 years, you're working in New York, and for 10 years you work in other cities, London, Barcelona, now Paris. Does it change something? Does it influence your way of writing? Because the city is a character of the story. Does it change your method, your way of working? And in the beginning of the movie, second question about Paris, in the beginning of the movie, we see many clichés of Champs-Élysées and a very touristic view. Is it your point of view about Paris, the place you love, or it's the point of view of your characters, the couple? Thank you.
It doesn't change the way you work. excuse me. When you work from city to city or country to country, you work the same way. I mean, the working method is the same. Paris is a very exciting city. I learned about Paris the same way all Americans do from the movies. I grew up, I didn't go to Paris till I was grown up, till 1965. And when, you know, when I went to Paris, it was the Paris that I knew only from American movies. And so the Paris that's the same New York City that I've shown to people around the world in a picture like Manhattan. It's the Manhattan that I don't see around me, but the one that I recognize from movies. And this is the same thing in Paris. I wanted to show the city emotionally, the way I felt about it. It didn't matter to me how real it was or what it reflected, or I just wanted it to be the way I saw Paris, Paris through my eyes. And I had a wonderful time shooting it, and I was able to shoot it in the rain. I was very lucky when I was shooting the opening montage. We got a number of rainy days that I could show it in the rain, and because I always love cities in the rain, and Paris is particularly beautiful in the rain, and you know, it was just a nice experience for me, a pleasant experience, and I was able to present it to the world through my eyes, very subjectively, not realistically, but subjectively.
Sir?
Yes, Bruce Kirkland from the Toronto Sun. Question for Rachel McAdams. I'm curious because you play the woman that most men are going to love to hate in this movie. She's kind of a shrew. And we know that this is not you, so this is acting. But I'm curious if you were conflicted between your, now that the film's finished here, it is at Cannes, whether you feel conflicted watching your character versus the personal feelings you might have about the romantic images of life and Paris in particular that Mr. Allen is presenting in the film.
I mean, I was so excited when Woody said to me, you won't be playing the object of desire. I hope you're okay with that, but I think she could be a lot of fun. And that was really exciting to me, you know, because often, you know, a lot of the parts I see are to play the ingenue, which, you know, is fun as well. But I was excited about this kind of deliciously direct character. And I don't know, it was great because I personally could enjoy Paris for all that it is and all of its romance. And then, you know, see it from an entirely different point of view, from my character's point of view, who wishes she was back in Malibu. So that was fun for me, and it was great. You know, I sort of try to pull back on her a little bit, and Owen turned to me and say, "It's so much funnier when you're mean." So it was fun to get to go that far with her, and at the same time, personally enjoy the city for all of its wonderful romance. Yeah.
Sir, then you, sir. But
bonjour, le Dauphiné. C'est une question.
This is a question for Woody Allen. You've just talked about the vision that American cinema gives us of Paris. When we see your film as a Frenchman, yes, we have this wonderful view of the roofs of Paris, and that reminds us of some of the very French, the very Parisian filmmakers like René Clair. And we also think of a René Clair film, Les Belles de Nuit, which is all about an artist who goes back into the past. So I wanted to know whether you like that film. What is your relationship with the French cinema and with René Clair in particular?
Excuse me. When I was a young man, my friends and I and those of us in New York were all very influenced by the French cinema. We were influenced by European cinema in general, Italian, Swedish, you know, and not just European, foreign to the United States, Kurosawa, Buñuel. But French cinema played an enormous role in influencing all of us who wanted to be filmmakers. And filmmakers like Truffaut and Godard and René were enormously important to us. And as we got into French films and went into the history and saw films by René Clair and Jean Renoir, these were films as art. And this was something that was not well known to us as Americans. In American films, you know, it's a money-making industry. In France, there's you can find great respect for cinema as art. And this was very meaningful to us because we all fancied ourselves as wanting to be artists in cinema and not commercial filmmakers. So the French cinema played a very, very important role, and René Clair certainly was a wonderful comic filmmaker, a wonderful, you know, French filmmaker, and influential to myself and to all of my contemporaries.
Sir, then sir, then sir, then sir.
Peter Howell of the Toronto Star. Question for Woody Allen. Woody, Rachel's character in the film chides Owen for not ever taking the opinions of other writers. I was just wondering if you ever, do you feel that way about yourself? Do you take other writers' opinions? And are there any particular writers who you use as your sounding board for your work?
I don't now. I did when I was younger. And I probably still should, but I don't. I write and I assume that I know everything when in fact it turns out that I don't, and I make many, many terrible mistakes. But when I first started, there were writers that I looked up to and felt very influenced by and very respectful toward their work and toward their opinion of my work. And now they're gone. They were much older than me, and they died. And so I pretty much don't rely on anybody except my own judgment. I don't get much input. And I don't know if that has helped me or I would be better off if I did rely on someone.
Monsieur.
Monsieur.
James Rocky from MSN Movies. Mr. Allen, watching a film, I was reminded of your 1978 short story, The Kugel Mass Effect, which also similarly plays with literature in a very interesting way. I was wondering if you were thinking of that story explicitly or if it was just part of a themes you've been exploring throughout your career. And as a follow-up for Mr. Wilson and Mr. Brody, how much research did you do into the period depicted and how much of that research felt like fun?
I can only tell you this. I didn't know what I was going to write here. I was going to do a film in Paris. I was looking forward to it. I thought of a wonderful title, Midnight in Paris, because it suggested enormous amount of romance. But I didn't know what was going to happen at midnight in Paris. And months went by, and I couldn't think of what happens at midnight in Paris. Two people meet. They meet at what, the Ritz Hotel, or someone's getting a divorce. I just couldn't think of anything. And then it occurred to me just one day that someone like Owen would be walking in the streets at night, and a car would pull up, and they'd say, get in, and he'd get in, and they would take him someplace, but someplace different. Now, I was not thinking of the story I wrote years back or anything else. I was just struggling to come up with an idea of, now that I have the title Midnight in Paris, what happens at midnight in Paris? And this time I was lucky. I thought of something, but I could have thought of something that was terrible or foolish and it would be a very bad movie, or not thought of anything at all and changed the title to something else.
Adrian?
Can you hear me? You know, this was the first time I had accepted to play Dali. I had been offered this role several times in different incarnations. It was a relatively limited glimpse of the man and his life, so I spent a great deal of my time researching the shape of the rhinoceros. That is all.
Mr. Wilson?
There wasn't really so much research for, for my character.
The gentleman here.
This is Rodrigo from Globo Brasil. This is a question for Mr. Allen. I would like you to tell us a few words about your working process with the photographer Darius Conji. And did you use any specific French movie as a visual reference to the film?
No, I worked with Darius before on a film called Whatever Works, which I shot in New York. I had always been a great admirer of Darius's photography. I saw it. He shot a film with Liv Tyler for Bertolucci years ago called Stealing Beauty. And I found him to be a remarkably gifted cinematographer. And so I worked with him on a film in New York City, and we had a good time. And we always said we wanted to work together more. And so I had a chance to do it in Paris, and I'm going to do it on my next film, as a matter of fact. And he's just a great and sensitive cameraman. But we didn't, at least I didn't, research anything for it. We just, there was no films that I was thinking of. I just wanted Paris to look very beautiful, and the requirement for all my films that I always have with all the cinematographers is that the photography has to be very, very warm. All the exposures have to be on the brown, red, and yellow side, not on the blue side. I don't let actors wear blue in the movie. Sometimes something slips through and I make a mistake, but usually the photography is all based on autumn colors. And this was no different than any of the others. And Darius got the message very quickly in the first picture I did with him and is able to give me exactly what I want that way, that very warm, warm, soft autumn look in the photography. This is probably meaningless to you because I can... it doesn't mean anything to the audience, but to me it has enormous meaning, just like the rain in Paris has meaning to me and maybe to nobody else.
The lady here, the gentleman here. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, Yiling Wong from Hong Kong Cable Television. Questions to Mr. Allen. You have such a fantastic cast. And along with the French First Lady, Ms. Carla Bruni, what is it in her that interested you to include her in the movie? And also any special strategy that you might have used to make her say yes? Thank you.
Carla, I one morning I was just having breakfast. We were invited to have breakfast with the Sarkozys. And she walked into the room, and I thought she was very beautiful and very charming and charismatic. And I just said, would you like to be in a movie, just in a small role, just for fun? I know that you're very busy, but just for a day or two or three maximum, and you might enjoy it. And she said, I would like to be in one of your movies because I would like to tell my grandchildren someday that I was in the movie. So I said, fine. And she showed up, and she was everything that I thought she would be. You know, she's not a lawyer or a diplomat, even though she's married. She's married to a political man. She's from a show business background. She's a singer. She plays guitar. She knows audiences. She has a theatrical feel. And so she came in and did her part very gracefully and lovely. And she played that character perfectly. And it was fun. I didn't have to talk her into it very much, as long as I told her I would be finished with her quickly. And it was a nice experience, and a nice experience for her, I'm happy to say, because I've since spoken with her since she's seen the film, and she was very delighted with how she came out and very happy with the way the cameraman photographed her, which is important to many actors and actresses in a picture. When you put yourself on the line out there, you want to look good, and she did.
All right. And then you, Brian, you have the mic. Go ahead.
Hello, Ben Hoyle from the Times in London. Question for Woody. Just to go back to an earlier question, do you still think of yourself as an artist filmmaker more than a filmmaker in the American tradition? And related to that, how at what stage did you feel comfortable including all of the great artists in this film and providing your own words for writers like Hemingway and Fitzgerald that were once your heroes?
Well, first off, I consider myself a completely lucky filmmaker. I mean, I've had nothing but good luck. Everything I needed has come my way. I've never considered myself an artist. I've aspired to be an artist, but I never felt I had the depth or the substance or the gift to be an artist. I do think I have some talent, but it doesn't go as far as being an artist, because if you think that, you know, Kurosawa is an artist and Bergman is an artist and Buñuel is an artist and Fellini, then it's clear as a bell that I'm not an artist. But I can make films, and some of them come out good and some of them come out better and some of them come out worse. But I've been very lucky over the years to have been able to sustain the length of career that I've had. And it was easy for me to write about all these people because I was writing about them in a satirical way. So to write dialogue for Picasso or Hemingway or Scott Fitzgerald or Zelda Fitzgerald was simple because I wasn't trying to make them meaningful and deep and profound characters, but I was trying to make them just amusing and entertaining, and so it was not tough for me.
Peter Paul Hoot, German television. A question for Mr. Allen, Mr. Wilson. You mentioned before the film Manhattan, and I was reminded often seeing the film of Manhattan. And I was wondering, what was it for you to see someone like Owen Wilson playing a character you used to play before, Isaac, the young writer who gets into all these arguments about intellectualism and is looking for love? And on the other side, there's someone like the Michael Murphy character who knows everything and knows everything better. Was that something in your mind, Manhattan, were making this film?
Well, only that both films celebrate cities, but it was great to see Owen do it because Owen is the opposite of me, and that's a big help to me to find an actor who is completely the opposite. I'm very New York, very Manhattan, very East Coast, maybe Europe to some degree. Owen is West Coast and personifies that in his whole demeanor and his delivery, and he's relaxed and he's a beach lover, and this gives the character an enormous dimension that I could never have given it, nor could I have written it for some other actor to give it that dimension if I had made him an Eastern intellectual. So the fact that Owen was willing to play it was a great gift to me and brought a real dimension to the film that it would not have had and would have sorely missed if he had not consented to do it.
One last question, I'm afraid. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Brian Johnson from Maclean's Magazine. A question about the casting for Mr. Allen and the fact that Owen Wilson and Rachel McAdams were together, much more together, in Wedding Crashers than they are here. Was that a factor in pairing them in this more perverse relationship? How do you go about casting? Because you seem to have quite a knack for it. And you've talked about why you cast Owen Wilson, but could you talk about why you cast Rachel McAdams?
I had seen Rachel in a film with Owen years ago, and I thought she was sensational. I thought she was beautiful and sexy and funny and a wonderful actress, and I wanted to work with her. I wanted to think of some way that I could use her to work with her, and the opportunity came up. Now, the truth of the matter is I didn't like the fact that they had worked together in a picture before. That was a negative for me. I figured, oh, people will think it's Rachel and Owen again, but I felt nothing I could do about it. They're both great, and I want them both, and Rachel, I just thought, could come in and nail this part. She would be very hard to play a woman who is manipulative and sexy and also charming enough and likable enough and amusing enough in the movie. So you stay interested in her and you care about what she thinks, and it's fun to watch her manipulate Owen. It's hard to find that, so I wanted to get Rachel at any cost, and I was, as I say, very lucky to get Owen, because I don't know in retrospect. I can't picture the role being played by anyone else now, and, you know, I've always been lucky with casting. You know, the trick in casting is to hire great people and let them do what they do. Don't interfere with them too much. And then when they're great, take credit for it at the end. And I've done this for many years, and it works like a charm.
On that note, I'm afraid our time is up. Thank you very much to you all for being here.